Let's bow in prayer. Father, we are grateful that you made salvation possible for sinners like us, that we could come to know you in a personal way because of what your Son did for us. Oh, Father, may we honor him today in what we do and what we say. May your word have free course in our lives and our minds. Father, give us the strength to get through and to end honoring you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's turn our Bibles to Genesis chapter 4. That's an easy book to find. It's the first one in the Bible. Genesis chapter 4. One time, Mark invited us to go see a farm between Winterville and New Sweden, back in there in Irving country. The Goddard Farm. Huh, Mark? I hadn't heard tell of that, didn't know anything about that, so I guess it was Sunday afternoon. They took us out there and showed us this farm. The Irvings have kind of set it aside as a little preserve. Some family had moved out there back, 100 years ago, started a farm in the middle of the wilderness. The Irvings put little signs like where the well is and where the house was and maybe even a burial site. Yeah, all that. So we were just looking that over, and you kind of have a creepy feeling about that. You find yourself wondering, why did those people come out here in the middle of this forest and try to start a farm? There were flowers. They were perennials. Some woman wanted to have flowers, like women do. What's the story? We just see the results of what they did, but we don't know the story. Well, when you look at the news, and you read the paper, and you experience the stuff that you hear every week, you also come to this conclusion. What happened? Why is it like this? This week I visited a family again. Dad was dying, and nothing nice about that. What happened? What's going on here? Well, Genesis chapter 4 contains the story of the mysteries of life because of the fall. Let's begin at verse 1. Now Adam knew his wife, and she conceived and bore Cain, and said, I have acquired a man from the Lord. Some translate that, what Eve said, I've acquired the man from the Lord. Big difference. If that's accurate, and I don't know if it is or not because I don't know Hebrew, but if that's accurate, she thought she brought the promised Messiah into the world. And boy, was she wrong. This is how it started. Then she bore again, and this time his brother Abel. Now Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in the process of time, that always stops me, in the process of time, the process of time, the happenings of everyday life, the days that go by and the weeks that go by and the months that go by and the years that go by, in that process, it came to pass that Cain brought an offering of the fruit of the ground to the Lord. And Abel also brought of the firstborn of his flock and of their fat. And the Lord respected Abel and his offering, but he did not respect Cain and his offering. And Cain was very angry, and his countenance fell. The two religions of our world, right here, this is how it happened. One offered to God what God required, and one thought he had a better plan. Those are the two religions of the world. Both these men believed in God, but only one believed God. Big difference. Cain was angry. He was angry. He was one angry man. I told you I did the Good News Club thing, and I was a little uneasy with that, but it's okay. But I would never do the nursery thing. Never do that. I would imagine, and I'm not there, but just from experience, when you go in the nursery and there's stuff in the nursery for them to play with and stuff for them to eat, but every once in a while, one feels he or she did not get fair treatment, an equal share. That little one will react with anger. Anger. That's an amazing thing how you can have, now I'm not trying to say which one or anything, but it's an amazing thing how you can have this adorable, angelic little girl want to kill somebody. Sometimes at school, those of you that are teachers here, and you have trouble with a kid, and the parents come in, and the parents tell you that you're absolutely wrong about the child because the child's an angel. You might say, the child went to the office because he swore. And the parents will say, Billy would never swear. He doesn't hear swearing at home. He doesn't hear swearing from our parents. He would never do that. Or he lied, or he stole something. Oh, couldn't be possible. Not possible. The first two people with a belly button, because Adam and Eve didn't have one. First two people, one get angry at the other. Anger's in us. It's in all of us. But he got angry because he couldn't have his way. He got angry because God would not accept his offering. Because God told Adam and Eve what the offering was acceptable. And this offering was rejected. Verse 6. So the Lord said to Cain, "Why are you angry? And why has your countenance fallen? If you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you do not well, sin lies at the door. And its desire is for you, but you should rule over it." That's quite a statement. Sin lies at the door. People are divided about exactly what that means, but I think right from the text, we know exactly what it means because he's talking about sin. So sin's right there waiting for you. It's right there. Well, anger was right there. Anger was waiting for you. This is the course sin wants to take you on. This is what sin wants you to do. You see, it didn't stop with anger, did it? It didn't even stop with murder. When does sin stop? When you get on that road, where does this thing end?
Every once in a while, you read in the newspaper about somebody who stole money, or about someone who raped, or about someone who perpetrated some other terrible crime against humanity. You might find yourself wondering how this individual, whom you know, could have done what he or she is being accused of. You say to yourself, "I can't believe so-and-so did that."
Where does it stop? You know, where does it lead? Verse 8. Now Cain talked with Abel his brother, and it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel his brother and killed him. Then the Lord said to Cain, "Where is Abel your brother?" And he said, "I do not know. Am I my brother's keeper?" Well, after you murder somebody, it's not hard to lie, is it?
In man's eyes, lying is a small thing.
It's a small thing compared to murder.
However, James 2:10 gives us God's view when he proclaims, "For whoever shall keep the whole law and yet stumble in one point, he is guilty of all." Verse 10,
and he said, "What have you done? The voice of your brother's blood cries out to me from the ground." The thing is this, God always knows. God always knows. The fear today with the modern home is the fact that you have a beast in your living room that's listening to everything you say.
Siri or Alexa, you just tell one of those listening devices what to do.
Turn the thermostat up or down or open the window or close it. What I'm saying is this.
Alexa is not the one we should fear being privy to our conversations. But we should understand God hears everything we say.
God hears everything we say. We should really fear that God hears everything we say. We should also fear that God hears everything we think. We don't even have to say it because he's God. This is the way he made us. He has the inside scoop. Verse 10, and he said, "What have you done? The voice of your brother's blood cries out to me from the ground. So now you are cursed from the earth, which has opened its mouth to receive your brother's blood from your hand. When you till the ground, it shall no longer yield its strength to you. A fugitive and a vagabond you shall be on the earth." And Cain said to the Lord, "My punishment is greater than I can bear. Surely you have driven me out this day from the face of the ground. I shall be hidden from your face. I shall be a fugitive and a vagabond on the earth. And it will happen that anyone who finds me will kill me." No. No, he won't. No, it's not there, but I'll tell you something. Cain lived a long, and as far as the world is concerned, prosperous life. He lived a long time. And his kids were born, and they became prosperous. And they became inventors. And they built stuff on the earth. And I don't read anything here about Satan. Did I miss something here? Nothing here about Satan, like the devil made me do it kind of stuff? No. No, it just came out of him. Some of these preachers you're listening to, the devil made me do this, the devil made me do that, and the devil's doing this, the devil's doing that. Boy, the devil, he's got a lot of credit given to his account that I think doesn't really belong to him. I think it's more human action than it is satanic action. It wasn't the devil at all. As a matter of fact, in the future, as foretold in the Word of God, Satan will be bound for 1,000 years. And guess what?
People will still sin, rebel, just like today, because we have a sin nature. Because we have a sin nature, we need salvation. Cain missed it. Abel didn't. Where I grew up, I used to love to hear the old guys telling stories. I remember a store, Mary's dad's store. Mary, I don't know if you remember this or not, but there was a steel pipe that held up a beam. And at the bottom of that steel pipe was a hardwood block. It was just big enough for a kid to sit on, because the pipe was there too. And you could sit there on that hardwood block. It was right next to the chip rack. Listen to stories. They were just stories. These old people that grew up in the 60s, we watched stories. You know, like Bonanza, Sunday night, 8 o'clock. Dun diddle dun diddle dun dun Bonanza. I was hoping Harry would be here today because I was going to ask Harry who the cook was on Bonanza. You know who the cook was on Bonanza? Huh? Hop Sing. Fran, you're older than I thought. Hop Sing. Okay, Fran, Hop Sing was the cook. And we know there was Little Joe, and we know there was Hoss. Man, you guys are really something. Adam. Yeah. So anyway, there'd be a storyline given. But the thing is, Ben Cartwright, that was just his character name, but his real name was Lauren Green. Lauren Green. And did you know that Lauren Green not only could act, but he could sing? Did you know that? He could. And the song he sang was Ringo. Ringo was a story about two men. I'm going to sing that for you this morning. Well, I can't sing it, but I'll recite it. I wish I could sing it, because I would. He lay face down on the desert sand, clutching a six-gun in his hand. Shot from behind, I thought he was dead, for under his heart was an ounce of lead. But a spark still burned, so I used my knife, and late that night I saved the life of Ringo. I nursed him till the danger passed. The days went by and he mended fast. And then from dawn till setting sun, he practiced with that deadly gun. And hour on hour I watched in awe. No human being could match the draw of Ringo. One day we rode the mountain crest, and I went east and he went west. I took the law and wore a star, and he spread terror near and far. With lead and blood he gained such fame. All through the west they feared the name of Ringo. I knew someday I'd face the test, which one of us would be the best. And sure enough, the word came down that he was holed up in the town. I left the posse out in the street, and I went in alone to meet Ringo. They said my speed was next to none, that my lightning draw had just begun. When I heard a blast that stunned my wrist, the gun went flying from my fist. And I was looking down the bore of the deadly 44 of Ringo. They say that was the only time that anyone had seen him smile. He slowly lowered his gun, and then he said to me, "We're even, friend." And so at last I understood there was still a spark of good in Ringo. I blocked the path of his retreat, and he turned and stepped out into the street. A dozen guns spit fire and lead. A moment later he lay dead. The town began to shout and cheer. Nowhere was there shed a tear for Ringo. The story spread throughout the land that I had beaten Ringo's hand. And it was just the years, they say, that made me put my guns away. But on his grave, they can't explain the tarnished star above the name Ringo. Why did I give that? Because in that story, the good man lives and the bad man dies. And most of the stories that we heard, most of the stories that have been written, the good will live and the bad will die. But the story I read this morning, the good man died and the bad man lived. Quite a difference, isn't there, between the two? I don't have time for all the songs, but Bruce Springsteen also sang a song about two boys in one family. And one was good and one was bad. And one went into law enforcement and the other went into law breaking. David Orr is a professor of poetry at Rutgers University. And he digs into these poems to find out how they're viewed today, if that's legitimate, or if they were written with a different flow than what most people tend to believe. And he talked about the road less taken. And he said, people misunderstand
the poem completely, because he said he has proof from correspondence that Robert Frost had with an acquaintance of his about the poem that we have it wrong, that the poem was taken from him and given a different meaning. Anyway, it's quite lengthy and it's quite complicated. I'm certainly not going to go into that, but what he was saying was, Robert Frost in the poem is saying, I took this road, and it's the wrong road. I should have taken the other road. I should have taken the road that was well-worn, not the road that required wear. I should have taken the road that everybody was traveling. I shouldn't have taken the road that was drawing me to it. And he's looking back over the years and he's saying that. I don't know if he's right or wrong. But this story that I gave you this morning from the Word of God is about two men. And it's about two roads that were taken. So you have somebody, and he's 70 years old. Can you imagine somebody 70 years old? He's reminiscing. Now, looking back over the years, this is what a 70-year-old would say. I should have, after high school, whatever. But you didn't. Now you're 70 years old, right? But you hear that. Or he might say, I was offered OCS, but I wanted to go home. But if I had to do over again, well, you don't, do you? Or a 70-year-old could say, I should have accepted that job in 1970. But you didn't, did you? Now you're 70. They don't want you anymore. Or, I shouldn't have gone to the bar that night. Or, I shouldn't have gotten into that car. Or, I never should have dated him or her. Or, why did I think that would be good for me? But that person is looking back, see? You can't go back there and take the other road. You have to take it when it's offered to you. Like Cain. It was offered to Cain, as well as offered to Abel. Cain didn't take it. Abel did take it. But you say, Abel died, Cain lived. Yeah? That's right. It's not about here. It's about hereafter. Here's not very long. Hereafter is a long time. Listen, who made the right choice? Abel. Even if it meant death, Abel made the right choice. Cain made the wrong choice. Two choices. Two brothers. Same parents. Same upbringing. Same education. Same potential. Same prospects. Attended the same Sunday school. I just threw that one in. The world gives us opportunities to do good. The world gives us opportunities to do evil. The world gives us opportunities to follow God. The world gives us opportunities to reject God. What do we do with that? What do we do? Say, so, yeah, but Cain lived a long time and he was prosperous. Yeah, he did. But he died. By the way, he's been dead for about 6,000 years. Cain has not been dead as long as Abel has. But those two are both dead. What difference in the grand scheme of things if one lived longer than the other? Even all the things that he accomplished matter not now. His kids? Not good. His descendants? Oh, they were successful. They invented stuff and they built stuff. They learned how to use all the things that are here. What good's that, really, if you reject God? It's like looking down the hole and it's 4 feet wide and it's 8 feet long and it's 6 feet deep. And you just see down the darkness this box. See, this crazy Irishman died. He had someone rig his coffin with a recording. And the recording was to go off when the coffin went down into the ground. So all these people are around the grave of this crazy Irishman.
When the coffin hit bottom, the recording started.
Everybody's at the funeral. This guy's talking. They thought it was funny. This is really funny because he's a jokester. He's dead. It's not funny. He's not even there. Where is he? Where is he? You say, hey, how's it going? That was really funny. Nobody there. It's only a recording. It's only some kind of mechanical thing. Be real. Genesis in the third chapter gives us the root of sin, where sin came from. When Eve rejected what God said and Adam rejected what God said, it was the root of the thing. That's where it started. And then the next chapter, the chapter I just read, the fourth chapter, is the fruit of the thing. You got the root, that's how it started, and you got the fruit, that's what it produces. What a sad commentary. It's still a sad commentary. I just mentioned some of it today. It's not all about this. It's about after this. Both boys are brought up, they're acquainted with God. Adam and Eve tried to introduce them to God. And right here, God speaks to Cain. What more can you do? We say, listen, kids, this is what the Word of God says. You either have to believe that Jesus paid for our sins on the cross or not. And if you believe that, this is a new life for you. You're going to be a new creation. There's going to be a change here for you if you do this. So we give them the information, what they do with it. Some people say, well, you know, if God would talk to them, like God would come here, and they'd see God, and he'd do a bunch of miracles and stuff, then they would really believe that. No, no. Because there were people that had opportunities like that, like Cain had the opportunity to do that. He heard the voice of God, and he didn't believe. Look, he was convinced that his way was better than God's. And I'll tell you, a lot of people are convinced that their way is better than God's. A lot of people are convinced that God's going to accept their way, whatever it is. They'll just make it up, that God will accept it. No, he won't. No, he won't. Not after his son was crucified, buried, and that's what it cost. No, he's not going to accept some other way. He's not going to accept some other offering. He's just not going to do that. Cain had knowledge. Cain made choices. And Cain left the presence of God. Just, I'm out of here. I'm gone. Get a wife, raise a family, build some stuff, plant some stuff, harvest some stuff, bounce some grandkids on my knee, go through life. I'm gone. Left God's presence. How do you do that? Well, you don't read the Bible. You're leaving God's presence. You don't pray. You're leaving God's presence. You don't fellowship with believers who believe the scriptures are true. You leave that. You left it all. For what? For what? Ralph Cushman, poet, said, I met God in the morning when my day was at its best, and his presence came like sunrise, like a glory in my breast. All day long his presence lingered, and all day long he stayed with me, and we sailed in perfect calmness over a very troubled sea. Other ships were blown and battered, other ships were sore distressed, but the winds that seemed to drive them brought to us a peace and rest. Then I thought of other mornings with a keen remorse of mind when I too had loosed the moorings with the presence left behind. So I think I know the secret learned from many a troubled way. You must seek him in the morning if you want him through the day. It was morning for Cain. Left it. Don't need that. Don't need God. Never went back. God warned Cain about sin, what it could do, but he wouldn't listen. Cain was under an influence, human influence, fallen influence, an influence that really thoroughly convinces you that you can get through this world without God, and you're all right. By the way, don't ever forget, Cain believed in God. He just didn't believe God, like so many of the characters we're studying in the Bible. They believed in God. Just didn't believe God. James 2:19 says, you believe that there is one God? You do well. Even the demons believe and tremble. Bible says you're a fool if you don't believe in God. Well, he wasn't a fool because he believed in God. They didn't believe God. Big difference. Cain. Cain died and he was replaced by people that were more vile than he was. And you read about some of his descendants, they openly mock God. They cursed in God's face. It was downhill from there. It's a tragedy. When people reject truth, they suffer. But their descendants might even suffer greater things than they did because they've rejected truth. Then there's Abel. He believed God. He brought the right sacrifice. He brought the right offering. He just did what God said to do.
The Bible speaks of Abraham as also having done what God asked of him.
It says of Abraham, he believed in the Lord and he accounted it to him for righteousness. What God told Abraham, he believed that and he acted upon that. If he had to leave home, if he had to go out against the enemy, if the odds were against him in life, he went back to what God said. He was not a perfect man. He had flaws like we all do. But he came to this conclusion. God's true. What God says is true. And he had that conviction. Paul says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes. Everyone who believes. It's one thing I'm not ashamed of, he says, it's the gospel. We should never be ashamed of the gospel. Abel had a testimony. He had evidence that he believed. And he still bears fruit today. It says this, Hebrews chapter 9, verse 22. And according to the law, almost all things are purified with blood, and without the shedding of blood, there is no remission for sins. There's none. Without the shedding of blood, there's no remission for sins. Romans 5, 8, and 9. But God demonstrates his own love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. God demonstrated his love towards us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That's tremendous. I was thinking about that, a demonstration of love. I was watching ABC News the other night. They try to do this nice little thing at the end, this human interest kind of thing. There was a story, a true story, that went like this. They had the family on and so on. There was a lady that had a Down syndrome boy, and she moved to this state. And the boy started school. And the teacher took a liking to this boy, this Down syndrome boy. Found out from the boy that his mom had cancer. The teacher talked to the mother and found out the whole story. Anyway, the therapy didn't work and the mom was going to die. And the teacher said to the mother, "We would like to adopt the boy." Now, she had four or five children of her own. But the thing was, all the time they spent with the boy at their home, they were like family. And when the mom died, the boy came to live there and he had a family. He didn't have brothers and sisters, but when he came to live there, he had brothers and sisters. So, when I think of that word demonstrate, think of that. Did that teacher love that boy? Absolutely. How do you know? It was demonstrated. Made that boy one of hers. Love demonstrated. You see, what took place on Calvary? What took place when those Roman soldiers were beating Jesus, putting that crown of thorns on his head, mocking him and making fun of him? God was showing us that he loved us because he allowed that to happen. Everything that he went through was for us. Does God love us? God loves us even when we were enemies. I remember as a young man cursing God and shaking my fist at God and blaming God. Boy, I'm glad God still loved me. I'm glad that God loved me so much he saved me. What a mess. You see, Cain was a mess and Abel was a mess, but God provided a sacrifice for both those boys. But one rejected and the other received it. That made all the difference. What we do with Christ, that's the only thing that makes a difference in eternity. What do we do with him? Peter put it like this, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18 and 19. Knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things, like silver or gold, from your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as a lamb without blemish and without spot. There's a story that's told in the First World War. The soldier was on duty and his time was up and he was relieved. Somebody noticed that he was talking towards the enemy line and the enemy wasn't that far away and they thought he was a spy. So they contacted their commanding officer and he came and took the soldier. And he says, "It's been reported that you're communicating with the enemy." And the soldier said, "I wasn't communicating with the enemy." He said, "Yeah, but they overheard you talking across the line." He said, "They overheard me talking." He said, "I was praying." He said, "That's my habit." He said, "I pray." He said, "Really?" He said, "Yeah." The commanding officer said, "Well, pray." He said, "What do you mean?" He said, "Well, why don't you pray right now?" So the soldier got down on his knees and started praying. So he got up off his knees and the commander said, "Okay, you can go." So he left and the soldier that turned him in said, "Well, why'd you do that?" He said, "Because I had the young man pray and I knew from the way he prayed, you couldn't pray like that unless you had a lot of practice." That wasn't his first rodeo. That boy really knew how to pray. It's a real thing. You see, Abel was the real thing. Because he believed God and he did God's way. That's the real thing. Cain, he believed in God, but he believed his way was better than God's. And maybe God would come around to his way. Hey, listen, all of us in here. We're either doing it God's way or we're doing it our way. Which is it? We're either trying to get to know him better or we're running away. Which is it? It's really one way or the other. Really, two roads. And like this, you might never come back. There might never be another chance. That wasn't for Cain. He's still alive somewhere. Oh, his body's dead. Decayed, gone. Soul and spirit still alive somewhere. If you could talk to him today, he'd say like that 70-year-old, if I could go back there, I'd be like my brother. Let's bow in prayer. Father, we thank you for truth. We're dealing with truth. Truth can be hard sometimes. It can be difficult to digest. Oh, Father, help us with our absorption of truth. Help us to take these things seriously. Not to play church. Not to play religion. Not to try to impress you. To be honest and sincere. Pray that your word would bear fruit. This account, the story that we read this morning, that you've placed here for us, that has purpose. And we thank you. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.